I was the Lord gave me this message on my way back. I was visiting my mother in Florida and continue to pray for her. Many of you have asked, continue to please lift her up. Her condition continues to deteriorate, but please lift her up in prayer. But as I was coming back, the Lord gave me a message, and pastor called just the week after and asked me to preach. So we'll take it as a good thing. Take your please stand this morning. We're in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 23, a familiar passage this morning. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 23. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, Father, we thank you. God, I thank you for the privilege of preaching your word. It's an honor. God, I pray that, Lord, you would speak through me this morning. And Lord, that the Holy Spirit of God would help lives today. Father, I just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This morning, the title of my message is A Calm Heart on Stormy Waters. A Calm Heart on Stormy Waters. As I was flying back from Florida, I'm a glutton for punishment. I take the early flights, the 6 a.m., the 5:45 a.m. flights. You avoid a lot of the crowds and everything, get right through the airports. As I was flying back from Florida, it was a very cloudy day. It was cloudy from Pensacola up to Atlanta, and then Atlanta all the way up to Akron. We normally know it's cloudy in Akron, so that's not a change. But it was cloudy all the way up. And there was a passenger who I saw get on and boarded just slightly ahead of me and sat in a seat across the plane from me. I was on the one side of the plane, and she was on the other side of the plane, a young lady. And I saw one of the other passengers explaining some of the different things. So I got the impression that she was probably a first time flying, or one of the first time flying. And you could tell she was visibly nervous. One of my first clues was she had wrapped her arms around the seat. And she was holding on for dear life. I mean, she was white and knuckling. She was strapped in and buckled in. And she was holding on to those seat arms for dear life. And she was ready for takeoff. As we took off, flying has long since lost all of its appeal and allure to me. But it's much better than driving to Florida.
Amen.
Amen. So as we went up, you know, it was early, so I napped, and I got up and read my Bible. Great witnessing tool. Always bring your Bible on a plane flight. It's always a good conversation starter. And read my Bible, studying, preparing, resting, got my free water or coffee or whatever it was they gave me. They're pretty cheap on flights today. And I got my bag of peanuts and my water. But we started to hit some turbulence. It was cloudy, beautiful clouds, beautiful sunny day with lots of clouds. And I noticed the plane started to shake a little bit, and having flown a lot, I didn't think much of it. But I happened to glance over as I was looking at some of the scenery going by out the windows. I noticed that the more the plane bounced, the more she bounced. And her feet, her legs were going up and down like this, as a matter of fact. She was rubbing her hands on her pants. Her hands were all sweaty. And you could see beads of sweat visibly on her brow. And the more the plane jostled, the more her legs bounced. And I noticed, and I felt bad. My heart went out for her. I wanted to, if I was sitting closer, I wanted to reach over and say, it's going to be okay. You can have a calm heart on stormy waters. As I thought about that, as I looked over, I prayed for her and asked God to give her peace. And you never saw somebody so happy to get that plane on the ground again. But I watched her on and off throughout the flight. I rested and read my Bible and looked out the window. Every time I would look over, every time we hit a patch, I started to look over. We'd go through a cloud, hit a little bumpy patch. I'd look over, man, her feet were going like this. And she was just burning all kinds of energy on that flight. And yet here we were, the lady beside me, she was sleeping. The guy next to me, he had his head over. It was early. We were all sleeping or resting or reading our Bibles, or half people got their laptops open. And I said, here's the same situation, the same circumstances, and yet two entirely different reactions. And the Lord drew my heart to this passage of Scripture here of a calm heart on stormy waters. First, let's notice from the text. I'd like to point out from the text, number one, that it was the disciples that followed him. It was their disposition of obedience. Take your Bibles this morning, if you haven't, turned there in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 23. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 23. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Their disposition was that of obedience. They were in a place where they were not out of the will of God, Pastor. They were perfectly in the will of God. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
Jesus had gotten on the ship, and they got on the ship. Fact is, if you're taking notes, the corollary passages are Mark chapter 4 and verse 35 to 41, and Luke chapter 8 verses 22 to 25. It's interesting to compare the three passages where this story is recorded. This is a real event. It's not a parable. This really happened. They got on a literal boat, and Jesus got with his literal disciples, and they were in the middle of a literal sea, and a literal storm blew up. But the first thing I noticed is the disposition was that of obedience. His disciples followed him. May I say to you that not every storm that arises in your life is going to be because of chastisement.
Right.
Not every storm or problem that arises in your life comes because of your disobedience.
Right.
As I began to study this text, the similarities were very striking between this story and the story of Jonah. But yet there were never two stories so far apart. The Lord, the disciples, got in this boat in the perfect will of God.
Yes.
Jonah went down and got in a boat perfectly out of the will of God.
Yeah. Right.
They got about halfway to their destination and a storm blew up. And it was sinking the boat. We're going to leave a little bit of world later. The boat was full. And here Jesus, in our story, Jesus is asleep on the back of the boat. He had a calm heart on stormy waters.
Yeah.
But you know, Jonah did the same thing. Jonah was in the back of the boat, the bottom of the boat. He was sound asleep, out of the will of God, a runaway prophet, disobedient child of God. Two different, completely opposite situations, and yet the same reaction. May I make this cautionary suggestion? Many times we are far too cavalier in assigning the reason for people's problems when we are not those people. Many times we look at the problems that people have in their lives, and we say, like Job's miserable friends, oh, you must be sinning. Oh, you must be out of the will of God. No, that was not the case here. These folks were perfectly in the will of God. They were with the Lord. They were not only following the Lord, they were with the Lord. And friends, my friends, let God be God. Let us not assign the blame or the reason or the cause for people's problems and heartaches and trials and tribulations. I wonder, as the followers, as you went, tried to eat different house, I imagine you wondered, what was the Lord? What's going on? Not all things because, and could we say, man, sinners. You just join the crowd, amen? No, we don't know that. God was testing. God was allowing that to happen. I believe you're in the perfect will of God for your life. Coming to Ravenna, coming to Bethel, being here. And I believe that God gave you that house. I really do. My friends, number one, notice their disposition. That was a position of obedience. This morning, I'm speaking to three groups of people here. Number one, you might be in the middle of a storm this morning. And if you are, my heart goes out to you. It's tough going through the storm. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
Number two, maybe the second group of people I'm speaking to here this morning just came out of a storm. Maybe you've been through a rough patch in your life. Some stormy seas. And maybe it was a disquieting time, a disturbing time, a distressful time. And you've just come out of those seas. And maybe you're not going into one. And maybe you're not coming out of one. My friends, you're headed towards one. That's the third group of people I'm speaking here this morning. You say, you know what? Everything's been great in my life. Things are going good. Woo-hoo! Life's great. Hang on. It's like we say in Ohio, just wait a minute. Things will change. Things will change. This morning, if you're going through a storm, my aim this morning, my intention is to have the Holy Spirit of God comfort your hearts as you go through the midst of the storm. I want to bring you a message how you can have a calm heart in the midst of stormy seas. Number two, if you're just coming out of the storm, this message is intended to encourage you to say, look what God has done in your life. Look what the Lord has brought you through for you to grow and to learn from that. And number three, to warn those. Things are going good. I thank God for that. I love the good times. I live for the good times. But to realize that there may be a storm on your horizon and be ready. Be ready. Number one, we already noticed their disposition was that of obedience. Number two, their situation was that of great peril. Look at verse 24, Matthew chapter 8 and verse 24. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Here the waves were raging. Jesus was a sound sleeper. I honestly believe, as pastors often said, the ministry, there is an exertion, there is a draining from the ministry. Jesus, you study the life of Jesus, He took time to be apart. May I challenge you, those in Christian service, realize you need to recharge your battery. Tom and I were just talking about this morning, Pastor, we were sitting there in the back just talking this morning, how you can get you can get overburdened and overrun and worn out. Old familiar phrase, you never get tired of the ministry, but you can get tired in the ministry. I believe Jesus was exhausted because He had given virtue of Himself every day of His ministry. He gave and gave and gave. Why? Because we were that reason. Number two, their situation was of great peril. Now, as you think about this, these men were fishermen, right? As you study the life of the apostles, the disciples, what were they? They were? Most of them were fishermen. Now, if there's anybody that would know the severity of the situation, it's somebody that spent their life on the water. Amen? Amen. I mean, don't ask me about building a house. I'm not a carpenter. I don't know what to do, building a house. But you want to talk to me about maybe computers or something like that, website? Yeah, I can help you out with that. All right, know a little bit about insurance and different things like that. But you talk to some fishermen, they know what it's like to go through some storms. Amen? I imagine these guys have been through a few storms in their life. And I would say, number two, we need to note their situation was great peril. The Bible says in verse 24, the ship was covered with the waves. When you look at Mark chapter 4, it says the boat was now full. Now, I don't know that much about fishing, but I do know this. You put a boat on the water and cover it with winds and waves, and when the boat is full of water, you're in a bad situation. Can anybody say amen? All right. I would say that's a bad situation. I would say that their situation was that of great peril. In Luke chapter 7, verse 23, it says they were in jeopardy. Folks, they weren't playing. Being hyperventilating about the situation. They were in a real problem. And folks, may I say, you're going to go through some real problems in your life. You're going to go through some stormy waters, my friends, that your boat's going to be full. I don't know, has anybody been there, but I've been there. I know what it's like to have your heart broken. I know what it's like, this situation with my mother, Lou Gehrig's disease, an incurable disease, to watch her continually decline in front of my eyes. Folks, that's a stormy sea. But I know my mom's a saved lady. I know her my faith doesn't rest in her. It rests in Jesus Christ. Folks, there are times in your lives, and I don't want to minimize your problems. It may be financial problems. It may be relationship problems. It may be employment problems. It may be health problems. It may be your future problems. No matter what your problems are, they're real problems. You're going to come to storms in your life. Some waves are small, like some turbulence is small. But you're going to go through some deep storms. And my friends, I want to challenge you to be in the boat with Jesus when you go through those storms. I noticed the disciples, the one thing they didn't do, they didn't get out of the boat. Amen. Nobody said abandon ship. You know why? Because Jesus was in the ship. They knew who to stick with. Too many times in our marriages, people say, you know what, it's too rough, it's too bad, it's too far gone, and they abandon ship out of their marriage. They abandon their wife, their husband, their kids. I've seen too many preachers, Pastor, get discouraged in the ministry, get hurt in the ministry, get upset in the ministry, and say, it's too much, my boat's full, I'm sinking. And they quit, and they give up, they get out of the ministry. Their lives are adrift. Shame. But I challenge you this morning, stay in the boat with Jesus, amen. No matter what your situation. Amen. Stay in the boat with Jesus. Number three, so we've looked, number one, at their disposition was that of obedience. Their situation was that of great peril. Number three, their reaction was one of panic, which is a common reaction when you're going to die. And look at Matthew chapter 8 and verse 25. And His disciples came to Him and awoke Him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. They said, we're going to die. All right? That's what we're saying. Lord, we're going to die. Now, you get a bunch of fishermen on a boat in a bad storm, and they say we're going to die, I'm going to be nervous, all right? I'll be like, where's that life vest, man? Pull that ripcord. Here we go, baby, all right? When a bunch of fishermen in a boat say we're going to die, the situation is perilous. It's serious. And maybe you felt that way. The Apostle Paul, as he writes, he wrote that he was distressed of life. He was pressed out of measure. I don't know if you've ever been there where you feel like your guts are going to explode because of the pressure and the stress of life. These men were there. The Apostle Paul was there. And you might be there, or you might be headed there. My friends, can I tell you that their reaction was one of panic? And that's a common reaction. But what does the Lord do? And his disciples came and said unto him, awoke him, saying, Lord, we perish, save us. In verse 26, and he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? You see, this was a test of their faith in Jesus Christ. This was a test of their faith in Jesus Christ. Do they really believe that Jesus has their life in his hands? Do you believe that this morning? In the book of Mark, chapter 4, and verse 38, as it also says, it records, they say, carest thou not? They woke him up and said, Jesus, don't you care we're going to die? Have you ever said that to God? Have you ever said, God, Jesus, don't you care? Don't you care how much my heart is breaking? Don't you care how much this hurts, God? I don't know how many times I've said, God, if you love me, you wouldn't let me go through this. Imagine that's where the disciples were that morning. Jesus, don't you care? We're going to die. They woke him up and said, Master, Lord, save us. We perish. Their reaction was one of panic when they should have responded out of faith. They responded. They reacted out of panic, but they should have responded out of faith. Jesus awoke and said, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? See, the same situation, but a completely different reaction. He had a calm heart in the middle of stormy waters. And may I make a note here? Pastor preaches about this in the Romans class. This is what you could almost call a foxhole conversion here on the boat. They're making a deal with God. God, save us. Oh, Lord, please save me. Help me. And maybe this morning you've been in a place in your life where you were in a crisis, a crucible period, where you were pressed out of measure and you cried out to God, oh God, help me, save me. Lord, if you do, I'll go to church. I'll give my life to you. Lord, I'll even give 12% of my tithe. I'll take my kids to church. I won't be mad at my wife. I'll give up drinking. Maybe you've done all those things. And may I say, that's fine. But that is no substitute for salvation. Amen. That is no substitute for seeing yourself as a lost sinner on your way to hell. The Bible says that every man, every woman born on the face of this earth is born a lost sinner, destined for a sinner's hell. And apart from the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you repenting of your sins and seeing Him as the Lord and Savior and the Redeemer of your life, and you crying out in simple faith, Lord, save me, you're on your way to hell this morning. You might have prayed a prayer. You might have said, oh, God, help me. You might have rededicated your life. But have you ever seen yourself a lost sinner and asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and forgive you of your sins? In Him and Him alone. If not, you need to this morning. At the close of the service, we're going to give an invitation. The piano player will play. Pastor's going to come. And we're going to ask you to come down. And if you're here this morning and you don't know for sure that heaven is your eternal home, then you need to get that settled this morning. Today is the day of salvation. Jesus awoke and his response was that of a question. He said, where is your faith? Think about this. Jesus could have said, didn't I tell you to get in the boat? Well, yeah, Lord, you did tell me to get in the boat. Am I not with you in the boat? Well, yes, Lord, you are with me in the boat. Well, I'd say that's the best place you could ever be in your life. Amen. Don't you know that I'm in control? Don't you know that I'm in control? You see, the underlying problem that these men had was a lack of faith. A lack of faith in God. And this morning, I want to give you three simple truths of how to have a calm heart on stormy waters. Number one, have faith in God. Faith in God. Jesus' response wasn't, hey, wow. Jesus didn't say, wow, man, you guys are right. We're going to die. Didn't say that at all. He didn't say, man, break out the buckets. What you boys waiting on? Didn't say that at all. He asked them a simple question. Where is your faith? Where is your faith? Is it in you? Are you holding on to your salvation? We're talking about this in Sunday school this morning. Are you going through the motions? Because if you don't go through the motions of coming to church and reading your Bible and giving your tithe, you're not right with God? Or that you're holding on to your righteousness and your salvation? No. It's all of Jesus Christ. As soon as you start going, you're going to church, makes you right with God. As soon as you're tithing or giving, it makes you right with God. As soon as your Bible reading makes you right with God, your righteousness stands in you and not Jesus Christ. Who are you trusting for your faith? Yes, we should do all those things, but out of a heart of love and gratitude, a heart of obedience. Number one, Jesus had faith in His Heavenly Father, and we need to have faith in God. Three things. Faith in, number one, His love. The disciple says, Lord, don't you care? Don't you really care about us? God, we've given up our houses and our lands and we followed you. God, don't you care? He cares. Amen. I had to come to a point with the situation with my mother where I had to realize that Jesus Christ loves my mother far more than I ever could. Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of the Almighty God, died on a cross to pay the punishment for her eternal sins. And my friends, Jesus Christ loves my mom far more than I ever could. Amen. We need to have faith, number one, in His love. God really does love you this morning. Yes. God really does love you this morning. He's got a wonderful plan for your life. Yes. Teenagers, if I can encourage you to never lose this one truth, Jesus Christ truly loves you. The devil will whisper in your ear, oh, God doesn't love you. God doesn't care about you. Man, if God cared about you, you wouldn't go through this. You wouldn't have that heartache. You wouldn't suffer this loss. Man, God's holding out on you. Man, look at all the fun you're missing. Look at all the things you're missing because of God. Man, God doesn't love you. That's what Satan told Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. See, He hasn't changed His motives. He hasn't changed His methods in 6,000 years. Number one, we need to have faith in the love of God. Number two, we need to have faith in the leadership of God. In this situation, they were with the Lord. They were following the Lord. I ask you this morning. Are you in the will of God for your life? If you're married, then that's the marriage God wants you to be in. If you're in Bethel Baptist Church this morning, an independent, fundamental, Baptist, King James Bible, preaching church, you're in the church that God wants you to be in this morning. That's the will of God for your life. Where are you at in your life? And as God led you there, then you need to stay there. You need to trust not only in His love, but in His leadership. Jesus could have said to those boys, Lord, boys, didn't I tell you to get in a boat? Didn't I say, let's go over to the other side? Do you think I don't have this situation under control? We need to have faith in His leadership. Many times I've gotten to the point, and I know you have too, I'm like, Lord, I hope you know what you're doing, because I know I have no clue what's going on here. And you know what? That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith in His leadership. I know that God is leading my life. Why? Because I've given up control of my life. If I was in control of my life, I'd be full-time in the ministry. I'd be a pastor of the biggest church in America. Shoot, man, I ain't going to aim low. But I have full confidence in the leadership of my Lord and Savior. That God has control of my life, and He really does hold my life in the palm of His hand. Number three, I have faith not only in His love and in His leadership, but His lordship. Jesus' response to the cry of His disciples was swift and effective. He got up, rebuked the winds and the waves, and the Bible says there was a great calm. I wish it says and He went back to sleep. That'd be great. All right, everything's under control. I'm going back for some shut-eye. All right, that'd be great. The Bible doesn't say that. Well, I think when we get to heaven, we'll find out. He went back to sleep. So, you guys okay now? All right, bail this water out. I'm going back to bed. All right. His lordship. Do you have faith that Jesus Christ really is in control of your life? Are you like that young lady holding on to that plane? That's a great metaphor for our lives. Her holding on to the plane was the most ineffective means of her staying in the air I've ever seen. All right? It meant nothing. Right? Same with you trying to hold on control of your life. It means nothing. You trying to hang on to your salvation. If Jesus ain't hanging on to you, you ain't holding on to nothing. His lordship. These men said, who is this? What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey Him? we lose sight of the greatness of our God. Our God's put the stars in place. Our God controls the universe. Every atom of your body continues to be in perfect alignment because He wants it that way. My friends, God can move in your situation. God can move in your life. God can move in your finances. God can move in your health. God can move in the path and the direction of your life. I don't care what mountain you have, it's not too big for God. Do you believe and have faith in His Lordship? Number one, we must have faith in God. It will give you a calm heart on stormy waters. Number two, we need to grow from experience. Take your Bible this morning, turn to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 5 and verse 3. Romans chapter 5, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans chapter 5. I'm going to begin our reading in verse 3. We must grow from our experience. Romans chapter 5 and verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Number one, we must have faith in God. Number two, we must grow from our experiences. I said this morning, there's a group of people here that have just come through some stormy times in their life. You need to sit down, and number one, you need to thank God for bringing you through those storms. Number two, you need to say, God, what were you trying to teach me as I went through those storms? His whole point for this storm was for His disciples to see the glory of the Lord. To realize that their lives were in His hand and no obstacle was too big for Him. That was the reason for that storm. Grow from our experience. I've been through enough turbulation on planes to know it's going to be all right. You know, I've had my Coca-Cola shot off the tray. I've been shaking around. I've been tossed up a few times in the air. And I know it's going to be all right. That thing, that aluminum tube's going to stay up there, all right? I got confidence that I've been through enough storms that it's going to be all right. I wish I could have, if I was closer, I would have leaned over to that young lady and said, it's going to be all right. You know, I've been through this before. I've been shaken up before, and it's going to be all right. We need to grow from our experiences. How many people do you know in their Christian life, they go through a trial, and then they go through that trial again. And then they go through that trial again, and they don't, and every time, oh, Lord, save us, they panic. They never learn from their... Yeah, that was a little super church flashback there. That's when you do, oh, you know, you do that in super church, you know. Right about now, you guys are falling asleep. They're falling asleep. All right, so grow through your experiences. Say, oh, God, what are you trying to teach me? What do you want me to learn, God? We need to... The Bible says in Romans 5:4, and patience, experience, and experience hope. See, I had hope. I had hope on that flight. I knew I was going to get home. I want to go over and say, look, lady, I'm a Baptist preacher. I've asked God to get me home safe. You're fine. All right? You'll be all right. It's the safest flight in the world. I know. I had confidence in God. I asked God to get me home. I figured I was getting home. She was all right because she was with me. All right? Everybody in flight, I got God said, it'll be all right, folks. It'll be all right. I didn't. All right? I didn't want the TSA or the nice guys or the air marshals to get me a little weirded out. We need to grow from our experiences. And lastly, number three, we need to be comforted by God's word. Turn to Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. The Bible says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. My friends, God took the time over the course of many, many years to give us a Bible. He didn't do that so it could take a place on your coffee table. He didn't give you a Bible to have it in a nice zipper package so that you could tote it to church or leave it in your car all week long. This is God's Word. This is the inspired words of the Almighty God. You'll find them no place else in the 1611 King James Bible. My friends, if you have a Bible in your hands today, a King James Bible, you have God's Word. God doesn't take His Word lightly. The Bible says, thou hast magnified thy Word even above all thy name. My friends, God gave you a Bible for a purpose. He covers every situation that you're going to face. He's covered financial problems and marital problems. He's covered work problems and health problems. He's covered highs and he's covered lows. Not so you can just read through it, but so that you can be comforted by it. My friends, we must, number one, have faith in God. Number two, we must grow through and by our experiences. And number three, we must be comforted by God's Word. See, there's a reason why we tell you to read God's Word. Because it's comforting. Yeah. My friends, as you look at the lives and the struggles of the men and women who've gone through the deep valleys, valleys far deeper than you and I believe will go through many times. The Bible talks of people sawn asunder, people driven out, people killed, all for their faith. And yet we have hope and comfort because we have seen what God has done in their lives. And we can have confidence that God will do that in our lives. Yes. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. This morning, the invitation is going to be very simple. Number one, if you're a sinner here this morning, if you're honest with yourself and honest with God, that I am not going to heaven. You don't know for sure 100% that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that you've been saved and born again, then I beg of you this morning, come down and get saved. Don't leave here undone and lost. You don't know that this is your last Sunday. To the saint, I ask you this. No matter what ship you're in, don't get out of the ship with Jesus. Stay in the ship with Jesus. It's where He wants you to be. This morning you may be going through some deep waters, some stormy times. I ask you this morning to come down and ask Jesus to calm the winds and the waves. You can have a calm heart in stormy waters. Pastor.
With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many could say, Pastor, I know for sure there was a time in my life I saw myself a lost sinner going to hell, and I realized I needed Christ to save me. And I've asked Jesus Christ to save me. I know if I died, I'd go to heaven. Could you raise that hand? I know for sure I'm saved. I know I'd go to heaven. Thank you. May put him down. Would there be some today that say, Pastor, I'm not sure, but I'd like to be. Preacher, would you pray for me? I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to die on my sins and go to hell. Pray for me. Anyone like that today? Just raise your hand, put it back down. Lift it up and put it back down. I won't come to you, I won't embarrass you, but I will pray for you. Pastor, include me in that prayer. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't want to die on my sins and go to hell. Pray for me. Maybe you're that Christian that's in a storm. And you say, Preacher, pray for me. I'm in a storm and I am afraid. Pray that God would help me and give me calm and peace in my heart. Who'd say that? Pray for me. Yes, yes. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. God bless you. Yes, yes, I see it in the front here. God bless you. Who else? Include me in that prayer. Maybe God wants you to do something. I don't know. Maybe you're searching for a home church. Maybe this would be where God would have you to be. Seek the Lord. Whatever God might want for you today, draw close to Him. He'll draw close to you. Heavenly Father, you see all our hands that went up, and most of all, you've seen all the hearts. And I pray, dear God, Lord, help everyone. Lord, there were so many, there was hands in the front and the back and both sides. A lot of folks either in a storm or just came out of a storm or heading for a storm. Lord, we sure need your guidance and your leadership and trust in your lordship and, Lord, all the things that faith involves. I pray you'll give faith to these folks that are going through a hard time. Give them faith so they can withstand that day. Help them not to jump out of the ship. Lord, I pray those in a storm, no matter where they're at, I pray they won't jump out of the ship. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse. What page are you on, Dave? 137. If you'd like to come for any reason, you come right now.